We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos, daf Lamed Gimel. We begin 8 lines from the top of the Amud, and the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said, "Afila nochesh korach ala kevoy leyafsik," that if someone's involved, engaged in Shmoyne Esrei, in the Amidah, even if a snake coils up on his heel, he shouldn't interrupt the middle of davening, he's in the middle of standing in front of the Melech, Macham Lacham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he shouldn't stop. So the Gemara qualifies this statement and says, "Amrav sheshes leishane le nochesh." We didn't say this halacha that a person should not interrupt only if it's a snake that's coiled up. Avol akiv paisik, but if it's a scorpion, then one does interrupt, and he takes away the scorpion because a scorpion is more in danger of attacking him and biting him more than the snake is to bite. And therefore, a scorpion that is more of a situation of danger, therefore you should stop in middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Tesis actually brings from the Yerushalmi that if the snake was, so to speak, shaking and it's on its way coming to attack, then the person would also interrupt the Shemoneh Esrei because he obviously sees that the snake is agitated and angry at him and it has intent to damage, so therefore even then a nochesh would be included in that same category as a scorpion, as an akrev, because that's an obvious case of danger. So the Gemara asks on this halacha that it seems that a snake is not as dangerous, so to speak, that it's not as definite that's going to attack as a scorpion. The Gemara asks from a b'raisa. Meisvei, we learn, nafal geva roisa, an individual falls into a pit of lions, ein me'id no lav shemes, we cannot say testimony about him that he has died. In other words, to tell his wife that your husband definitely died to permit her to get married, because sometimes the lions are not hungry and they're not going to eat him. And therefore, although he fell into the lion's den, it's not definite that he's going to die. Nafal chafir malei in the chashem akravim. However, if he fell into a pit, which is full with either snakes or scorpions, then me'idna lav shemes, then you can say a testimony about him that he died. So obviously you see from the b'raisa that a snake is, so to speak, a mu'id to bite, that it definitely will attack and kill the individual. So why did we say that if there's a snake around his heel, he does not have to interrupt by a scorpion, he does? So the Gemara answers, Shani Hasam de Agav Itzitza Maski. There it's different in the case where he fell into that pit, where because of the pressure, that is when he fell down on the snakes and he pushed them, so therefore they got upset, and then they're going to attack him. That's why in such a situation you could definitely say testimony that the person died. However, regularly, if a snake is just coiling up on the person's heel, it's not definite it's going to attack, and therefore in middle of Shemoneh Esrei, one should not interrupt his tefillah. Nothing more continues on regards to other animals about the danger that they pose to an individual. Amar Yitzchak, Ra'ah Shvarim, if someone sees bulls, then Paisik, he stops his Shemoneh Esrei in the middle. In other words, they're dangerous, and they're just like scorpions that one should stop his Shemoneh Esrei. The Tanya Rav Oishe, as Rav Oishe learned, Machikin Mishar Tam Chamishim Am. A person should stay away from an innocuous shar. In other words, a bull that never gored a person ever, at least 50 amas, around 100 feet. Mishar Muid Kimloy Enav, and from an ox that gores habitually, in other words, that has already gored a person 3 times, then as far as the eye could see, that's how far you should stay away from that ox. As the Gemara brings Tanya Rav Shmeidre Meir, Resh Tura Bidikula, that even if the head of the ox is in his feeding basket, in other words, this was a basket that would hang from his neck that had straw in it and he's in the middle of eating, still, in spite of the fact that he's busy and is engaged in eating, Salik L'Igra should go up to the top, to the roof, V'shodi Darga Metuzich, and you should go ahead and remove the ladder from under you. In other words, it doesn't mean literally, but what it means to say is that you have to be very careful from a bull, from an ox, that it might harm the person. So the Gemara qualifies this and says, "Amar Shmuel, Han Emili B'Shoy Shachar B'Yemi Nisan." This is only referring to a black ox in the days of Nisan. That is, in the days of Nisan, that the winter months have already passed, where the earth was dry and there was nothing there of vegetation, and now he suddenly sees that it's full of it, sprouting, and his he becomes expansive and he gets excited, and the Yitzhara enters in, and that's as the Gemara said, "Nesha Satan Mirakid Loi Beikana," because then during the months of Nisan, when he's a black ox, that the Satan, so the Satan is sort of dancing between his horns, he's all excited, then you have to be careful and run away from him. But during the winter months where he's, so to speak, not so excited, then it doesn't pose the same type of a danger. Similarly, the Gemara brings some other animals that are danger. There was a place that had an arid. An arid is a crossbreed from a snake and a toad, that when they get together, it comes out of an arid, which is a very dangerous creature. And was harming the people. What should we do? There's this dangerous animal. They said, "Show me its burrow, where it comes out from." They showed him the hole where it stays. He put his heel on the opening of the burrow. So then the Arad came out and bit him on the heel, and the Arad died. And Rashi says what's interesting from the Bahag, he says that they say in Eretz Yisrael that when the Arad bites a person, if the Arad gets to water first, then the person dies. If the person gets to water first, then the Arad dies. And the way the tradition is that a nesh happened for Reb Chanina, and then a fountain opened up right under his heel, and therefore he got to water first, and therefore the Arad died. Either way, a greatness happened. So not loyal kaseifoi vevila beis medrash. He brought the Arad on his shoulder, and he brought him to the beis medrash. Amalem ruban, they said, see this, my sons. Ein Arad memes. It's not the Arad that kills. Ela chet memes. It's the sin that kills. In other words, it gives the opportunity for, so to speak, the actual physical manifestation to happen, but it's really the sin that makes that a person should die. And therefore, since he wasn't a sinner, he didn't die, rather the Ara died. So Ba'isah Sha'amr, at that moment they said the following statement. Oyle la'odim shepoga by Arad. Woe to the person that meets up, that he happens to meet an Arad, because the Arad's going to kill him. Oyle la'arad shepoga by Rechanim ben Isa. But woe to the Arad that he encounters Rechanim ben Isa, because Rechanim ben Isa is going to kill him. Because since he's not a chayte, the Arad's not going to be able to harm him, and rather the Arad himself is going to be harmed. Now the following Mishnah continues after we said in the previous Mishnah about the proper hachana and the preparations necessary for the tefillah. Now the Mishnah begins to say about the actual nusach, the phraseology, and different things we're supposed to say in the actual Shemayna Esrei. So the Mishnah says, "Maskirin gevuris kisham in betchias mesim." We mention the strength of the rain in tchias mesim, which is that we say mashav ruach, which is not a request, rather it's a haskara, like we say maskirin. It's just a remembrance and a praise to Hakadosh Baruch Hu for the rain that it gives us. And the request in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu, which is in the blessings of the year, and that is because we say v'sein talmata, that you should give dew and rain, which is a lashon of bakasha, of a request. And we say the havdala b'chein ados, we say havdala on matzah Shabbos, we say the nosach atochein anton, and we say it in the bracha of chein hados. However, there are two other tanoim that argue on that. Reb Kiva Oimer bracha revis b'fnei atzma. You say havdala as a fourth bracha on its own. In other words, after we say Atah Kaddish, which is the third bracha, then you say Atah Chayin Antanu, and then you say Atah Chayin, and you say a regular bracha of Atah Chayin. Rabbi Eliezer Yemer Bahidah, he says you say it in the bracha of Moedim, that's where you put in the nusach of Atah Chayin Antanu. So the Gemara goes back to explain the Mishnah. We said Maskirin Gurus Kishamim Mechulu, we said that we mentioned the strength of the rain in the bracha of Tchias Amesim, which is the second bracha in Shemayna Esrei. So the Gemara is my time. What is the reason that we put in Gevurus Gesham and mentioning rain in the bracha of the resurrection of the dead? What's the correlation? So Rav Yosef, mitich sheshkula ketchias amesim, since it's tantamount to the resurrection of the dead, that they're both, so to speak, life-restoring blessings, one of the rain and one of the tchias amesim. The fikut kavur b'tchias amesim. That's why we put the nusach of mashav ruach merid hageshem of talking about rain in the bracha of tchias amesim. The Gemara goes on, v'sheila b'birchas hashanah my time. So what's the reason that we put request of a sintal amat l'vracha in the blessing of the years that everything should be well? So Rav Yosef mitich shi parnasa, since the rain is the sustenance, l'fikuch kavua b'birchas parnasa, that's why we instituted and fixed it in the bracha of sustenance, which is the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. And then finally, havdala b'chein adas my time. Why did we put, at least according to the Tanna Kamma, the bracha of Havdalah, about differentiating between Shabbos and the weekday, which is coming in Matzah Shabbos, in the bracha of Chayin Adas, that Hashem gives wisdom, He gives understanding. Rav Yosef Matich Shehi Chachma, since that is wisdom, in other words, that the wise man is able to differentiate between what's holy and what's sacrilege, what's weekday, and between what's pure and what's impure, that's what Havdalah is, to differentiate. So Kavua B'Birchas Chachma, therefore they instituted and fixed it in the bracha of wisdom, because that's what's necessary for Havdalah to have wisdom. Another pshat, Rabbanan Amri, Metech Shehichel, since it is a weekday request, that's why they instituted and fixed it in the first of the Birchas Chachma. They couldn't put in the first three brachas, because here we're talking about a weekday thing, and the weekday, only in the weekday do we request things on Shabbos. We don't have any birchas of bakasha. So therefore, the first opportunity we had was the bracha b'atochein, and that's why we put it there, but not per se because of chachma itself. Now the Gemara continues on this theme that we mentioned how great chachma is. Amr Rabbi Ami, G'doyle Deya shenitna b'tchilas bracha shalcha. How great is understanding that it was placed as the first bracha of the weekday brachas. In other words, the first request we make from Hashem is atachayin ladam das, that you give and please chaneinim itcha chachma b'ina b'das, or day b'ina b'haskel, depending on the nusach. We ask from Hashem the wisdom and the understanding, that's how great it is, it's the first thing we ask. Another statement from Rabbami in a similar type of halacha. How great is understanding that it was put between two letters, two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema ki kel deyas Hashem, that because a God of deyas is Hashem. So we see that kel and Hashem, two names of Hashem, the word deyas is in between that. We see how great it is, so to speak, sandwiched between these two names of Hashem. And moreover, v'chomi she'in by deya, osel arachamav. Whoever does not have understanding, it's forbidden to have mercy on him. Shenema, as it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, kiloy am binoisu, because it's not a nation of understanding, al kein l'rechmen oisau, therefore his maker will not have compassion on him. And Mefarshim explained, it doesn't mean someone that was born that way, that does not have understanding. Rather, the word deya itself, as the Gemara is going to explain later, is a word of connection. It's connecting what the knowledge, the wisdom, the chachma that you have, and the bina, and deya is, so to speak, the connector to the actions, and therefore deya connotes a person that is able to implement and integrate what he knows, and someone that does not do that, it's forbidden to have mercy on him. Similarly, the Gemara brings a similar drasha that Amr Belaza Gadol Mikdash Shenosan Bin Beis Oisius. How great is the Beis of Mikdash that it was placed between two of Hashem's names? Shenem, it says in the pasuk, Pa'alta Hashem, that Hashem you have made Mikdash Hashem, the sanctuary of Hashem. That we see that the Mikdash is between the two names of Hashem, and that's to show how great it is. The Gemara goes back to the idea about the Chachma. V'Amr Belaza Kol Adam Sheyesh Beidei, any person that has understanding. It's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in his days. As the Gemara brings, that Deya Nitna B'Shtenyo Yisius, as we brought before, that the Deya, the word Deya is placed between two of Hashem's names, and Mikdash Nasna B'Shtenyo Yisius, and the word Mikdash, which is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, is also placed between two Yisius of Hashem, Hashem's name, to show you this idea that they're equivalent, so to speak. And that's the idea that we mentioned before, that it's the connection. That just like the Beis HaMikdash is what connected Shemayim and Oretz, heaven and earth, it was the conduit, so to speak, so today is that conduit that connects, so to speak, the head and the body. And Kabbalah, that's the reference of the neck. That is what connects. It's that connection. That's how great it is, that it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built, and that if someone doesn't have it, it's us even to l'racham alav. So the Gemara asks, if that's how we show something is great, that it's placed between two of Hashem's names, so maskev l'rev acha karchino, el miyato, gedoyle nekama, we should say that vengeance is great too. Shenos nebishtein oisis is also placed between two of Hashem's names. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, kel nekama es Hashem, that a God of vengeance is Hashem, and kel Hashem are Hashem's names, so therefore it should also be considered a great thing. So Amalein, he says, yes, correct, vengeance is a good thing. However, in its proper place, yes, then it's a good thing. And that is in the place where revenge, vengeance is necessary, so then it's a great thing. And that's what the Gemara says behind Dama Ula. That this is what Ula said, that Shtei Nekamas Halalu Lama. What is the purpose of these two Nekamas that it says, Kel Nekamas Hashem, Kel Nekamas Sefiya? It says the word Nekama, revenge, two times. That is Achas L'Toiva, V'Achas L'Ra. One is for the good. And that is for the good of Klal Yisrael, like the Gemara in Baba Kama and Daf Lamed Ches says, the Miparin Haifia, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mafker the mammon, the money of the non-Jews to Klal Yisrael. As we know, the halacha is that the Shur Shal Yisrael, Shenogach Shur Shal Akam, that an ox of a Jew that gores an ox of an idol worshiper, that he's parted, that he's himself, he does not have to pay him. That's the Nekama of the good, that it was given to Klal Yisrael. Achaz L'ra, and one is for the evil. This is, so to speak, to take revenge from the idol worshippers that they didn't accept the Torah. As the Gemara brings, L'tayva d'chsev hoifiyah mahar paran, that Hashem appeared from har paran. And similarly, we find the same word, l'ra, for the evil, for the revenge, d'chsev, as it says, kel nekomes Hashem, kel nekomes hafiyah, that a God of vengeance is Hashem, a God of vengeance, he should appear. So we see that the word hafiyah, both l'tayv, by l'ra, that nekoma has two elements, one of the maila and the bracha that comes to Klal Yisrael, because they accepted the Torah, and one to the revenge, to the vengeance against the nations that they did not accept the Torah. So therefore, Nekama is just like Deya and the Mikdash, that it's a great thing in its proper context. So the Gemara returns to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said, Rabbi Kiva, Imer Bracha Revias, B'chula. Rabbi Kiva said that one does not put Havdalah Atachanatanu within the Bracha of Atachainen. Rather, it becomes its own Bracha, so therefore that becomes the fourth Bracha, and then Atachainen becomes the fifth Bracha, and so on. So the Gemara goes through and shows how this actually happened. This machloek is about where do we place the bracha of Havdalah and Matzah Shabbos Ma'ariv. Omer Rav Shimon bar Abba Rav Yochanan, Mechti, let us see. Anshe shekanes hagdoyla tiknu lem liyisrael, brachos, tefillos, kedushos, avdolos, the Anshe shekanes hagdoyla, the men of the great assembly, they instituted for Klal Yisrael different brachos, different prayers, making kiddush of the kiddush of the day, because the kiddush of the night is deraisa, and havdolos. These were all instituted by Anshe shekanes hagdoyla. So nechzi hechen talking. Let's see where they instituted. Where was it supposed to be? Did they say it should be by its own bracha? Did they say it's supposed to be by Maidim? Or did they say it's supposed to be in the bracha of Atachainen? How was it that we got confused if this is something we do every Matzah Shabbos? So Amalei, b'tchila kavu b'tfila. What happens is that initially, and this is in the time when they were coming up from the Gullis, in the days of Ezra, and they were dachuk, they didn't have any money. So then they fixed the proper recitation, the pronouncing of the Havdalah in Shemayna Esrei. However, Heshiru, when they became affluent, and that is at a later time, and they were able to afford wine, so Kavu Alakais, they instituted and they fixed it that it should be said on the cup of wine. And then at that time, they forgot the original Takana of Ezra, because they had become wealthy, and they weren't saying in Shemayna Esrei anymore. However, at a later time, when they became poor, they reinstituted back in Shemayna Esrei, and then they had this machlokes where it's supposed to be said, as the Gemara said, Hanu, when they got poor at a later time, Chazru v'kavu b'tfila, and then they went back and put it back in Shemayna Esrei. And therefore, that's where the machlokes started, because although we had the original institution that was changed for the better, so to speak, but then when they got poor again, then it was forgotten how originally it was in tefillah. However, the Gemara says, V'heim Amru, that they said, Habnavdal b'tfila tzoch she'av l'kais. Ultimately, they said that whoever, even though he says Havdalah in the Shemayna Esrei, right, because people got poor again, however, he should still make Havdalah on the cup. That is, if he's possible for him, that he can afford it, you should do both in the tefila and in the kais. And therefore, now that it shouldn't become confusing anymore when it's poor and rich, it should always be the same, it should always be stable. Idmanami, similarly, we learned, Amr b'chei b'rab, Amr b'yechlan, Anshe Knes HaGdeila, Tiknu Lam Liyisrael, Brachos, Tefillos, Kedushas, Avdolos. These were all instituted by the Anshe Knes HaGdeila. B'tchila Kavu, B'tchila initially was instituted during davening. Heshiru Kavu Al HaKoyis, when they got wealthy, when they became affluent, it was instituted on the cup. Chazrevenu Kavu B'tchila, when they got poor again, so they went back and instituted back during davening. V'heim Amru, but then they said, Hamavd B'tchila Tzach Shad L'Koyis, whoever says Avdolah, he says Atachin Atanu, during davening, he still has to say it on the cup of wine. Itmanam, similarly we learned, that Rabbi Yosef, Damit Havayah, they both say, Hamavd Batrila Tzach Shev L'Koyes, whoever says Havdalah during davening, he still has to say Havdalah on the cup of wine. So now, Amar Rabba, so Rabba said, and that's the proper gear, so they say, because it's going back on the statement we just said from Rabbi Yosef, Umesvid Nashmain, and we could ask on our teaching that there seems to be a difficulty in what we just said. Because we learned, Tov, Alehiske, Gvurske, Sham, Betchias, Amesim, someone made a mistake. And they forgot to mention Masha Baruchim or Dageshim in the Bracha of Tchias Amesim. Or if he forgot, Vesheila Baruch Hashem, he forgot to say Vesein Talmud Lavracha in the Bracha of Baruch Aleinu, Machzir Noise, they make him go back and say over the Shemayin Esrei. However, Vavdol, Bachoin Nadoas, Ein Machzir Noise. If he forgot to say Atachen Atanu in the Bracha of Chentas, we don't make him go back and say over the Shemayin Esrei. And the reason is, Mnesha Yochala Oim Malakois, because he could say it on the cup of wine. However, it sounds like from there that it's only if he wants to not have to daven over again, then the reason is so that he can say it on the cup of wine. But it would seem to be that if he already said it during davening, then he wouldn't have to say it on the cup of wine. It's only that he could, like it says Sheyachal, he could say it on the cup of wine, so now he won't have to go back and say over Shemayin Esrei. But if he doesn't, if he said Shemayin Esrei properly, it sounds like he doesn't have to say it on the cup of wine. And we just said that even if you say it during davening, you have to say it on the cup of wine. So the Gemara amends it and says, Lo yitem nisha yochal ayim alakayis. Don't read it that it says that because you could say it over on a cup of wine. Elaim nisha ayim alakayis, rather say it because it's said over the cup of wine anyway. So therefore, you don't have to repeat Shemayna Esrei because you didn't say it during davening. Itmanama, similarly, we learned, Amr Binyamin bar Yefes, that Shol Rabbi Yisi is Rabbi Yochanan Mitzedin, that Rabbi Yisi had asked Rabbi Yochanan in Tzedin. For Amr Law, and some say that was Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov de Mitzur that he asked as Rabbi Yechanan. But I'm not sure, and Rabbi Yom Yehovah says, and I overheard this conversation, which went as follows. Hamavda b'tfilo, tzorch sheyavdol ha'kais. Is it that someone makes Havdalah during Shemayin Esrei? Does he have to make Havdalah again on a cup of wine? Oy lo, maybe he doesn't have to. It's enough what he made the Havdalah during davening. Answer him, no, he still have to make Havdalah on the cup of wine. Again, as we said before, that the consensus is that you have to make Havdalah both during davening and on the cup of wine. So the Gemara continues on this din of Havdalah and poses the question, Hamavdil ala kois ma'ashi yavdu b'tefillah. What happens if someone does the reverse? He first makes avdala on the cup of wine. That is, let's say it's shal shudas time and someone davened, it was early minyanim, whatever, they make avdala, and he hears avdala on the cup of wine. Ma'ashi yavdu b'tefillah. What is the halacha? Does he now have to make avdala still in hishmein esrei of ma'ariv if he was ready yaitza on the cup of wine? Up until now, we said that you have to do ma'ariv and then on the cup of wine. What is if it's reverse? Rav Nachman Yisrael Kavuchayim Tefillah, he says that it's a Kavuchayim from Tefillah. And that is Umat Tefillah, the Ikar Takanti. Whereas we find that Tefillah was the original institution, what Ezra had made, that that's where Havdalah is supposed to be. And still, Amri Hamavd with Tefillah Tzor Shiav Lakai, still we said that whoever makes Havdalah in the Tefillah, he still has to make Havdalah in the cup of wine. So Hamavdal al Kais, the Lav Ikar Takanti, Lakoshkin. So if someone makes Havdalah on the cup of wine, which was not the original takana, it's only they made it when they became affluent that they made it on the cup of wine. So if you make on that, definitely you would have to still go ahead and recite it during tefillah, which that was the ikar takana of the havdalah, which was made in the tefillah. Similarly, the Gemara brings Tan Rav Acha Aricha Kamed Rav Chinana Hamavdal b'tefillah Mishubach Yisim Mishayavdal Alakais. He learned the following Tanoik statement that if someone makes Havdalah in his davening, he's more praiseworthy than someone that makes Havdalah on the cup of wine, as we said, because that was the original takana. And if he makes Havdalah both by the davening and by the cup of wine, so then blessings should rest on his head. It's even greater. So the Gemara asks, Haguf Akasha, it's an internal contradiction. You said that whoever makes Havdalah during davening is more praiseworthy than someone who makes Havdalah in the cup of wine. You see, obviously, that making Havdalah during davening itself is enough. And you don't have to make on the cup of wine. Then you go ahead and learn that if you make Havdalah both by davening and in the cup of wine, that blessing should rest on his head. How could that be? Once he already fulfilled his chiv with one of them, in other words, by davening and saying atochen atonu, so he's already exempt. And therefore what? Therefore the bracha of the havdalah on the cup of wine is a bracha that's not necessary. And Rav, and Rav says, v'item Rish Lakish, and some say it was Rish Lakish said, and some say it was both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish said, the following halacha, that kalam avarach bracha she'in etzrich, whoever makes a bracha that's not necessary, and in this case, he really made a bracha on Havdalah. He doesn't have to make a new bracha of Amavd Mekayesh Lachayl. Even Mishum Leisisa, he's over on the Lav Dairaisa of not taking Hashem's name in vain. So how could you go ahead and make another bracha of Havdalah when you're ready with Yaitza? So the Gemara amends it and says, Ele'im Ahochi. Rather, the Braisa should say as follows. Im Hivdil Bezu, V'lo Hivdil Bezu. If he only made Havdalah in this one and not in this one, which means he only made Havdalah on one and not the other, then Yenuchal Ebrachas Arayshay, then blessing should rest on his head because you're not supposed to make two. Rather, if you already made Havdalah during davening, you don't go ahead and make the Havdalah on the cup of wine. And because obviously this Braisa argues on what we said before, and they hold that you don't need both, you only make the Havdalah during davening, and you would not make the Havdalah on the cup of wine. Now the Gemara inquires, what would be the, we spoke about if someone made a mistake and he didn't do it the right way. Now the Gemara wonders, a different mistake in Havdalah. Baimene Rav Chizm Rav Sheshes. Chizda asked from Rav Sheshes, Ta bezu u bezu mahu. If someone made a mistake and he did not recite the Havdalah in davening, and he did not recite the Havdalah in the cup of wine, what should he do now? So Amalei, Ta bezu bezu chayz l'reish. If someone made a mistake, and he didn't say the Havdalah, not during davening, not in the cup of wine, then he goes back and he has to say again Shemayna Esri to recite it in the tefillah, and he has to go ahead and say the Havdalah on the cup of wine. Now we continue on to Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, what is the actual halacha l'maisa? Amud Ravina l'rava, hilchas ha-maisa. Ravina said to Rava, what is the halacha? If someone makes Havdalah during davening, does he have to make Havdalah in the cup of wine or not? So Amud Leiki Kiddush, he says the same thing, that we instituted Havdalah just like we instituted Kiddush as the same halachas. Dema Kiddush, avagav de mekadosh b'tzlusa, just like we find by Kiddush, that although a person was ready to mekadosh the Shabbos, he says the nusach of mekadosh Shabbos during his davening, mekadosh akisi, still has to make Kiddush on the cup of wine. Havdalah nami, avagav de mavdal b'tzlusa, mavdal akisi. So too by Havdalah, although he really made Havdalah in his davening, he said atachayim tanu, still he has to make Havdalah on the cup of wine, and that is the halacha that a person has to make Havdalah in his davening and on the cup of wine. So now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah, and the third Tanoik statement regarding where we make the bracha of Havdalah was Rabbi Eliezer Omer by Dar. Rabbi Eliezer says you say it in Moedim. So we have three different shitas. Either it's said in Atachainen, or it's its own bracha, the fourth bracha after Atachadish, or it is as Rabbi Eliezer says that you say it during Moedim. So the Gemara discusses this, that there's these different shitas. Reb Zer Havarachiv Chamer, Reb Zer was riding on the donkey. Havakashokal V'oz Reb Chia Bar Avin Masrei, and Reb Chia Bar Avin was following behind him. So Amalei said to him the following question. Vaday damritu mishmei Rabbi Yochanan. Is it true this that they say in your name, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer b'yomtiv shechaliyas achas Shabbos, that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, that we would say the bracha of Havdalah in Moedim when Yomtiv falls out after Shabbos, in other words, in Matzah Shabbos is the beginning of Yomtiv, that there we don't say Atachayin over there, and therefore we're not going to make Havdalah, although the halacha is we make it in the bracha of Atachayin, but there we don't, that then when we make Havdalah in the bracha of Moedim. So Amalei in, he says, yes, that's the halacha. So the Gemara first interrupts and wants to understand this. From the fact that he says the halacha, that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, mechlal de pligi, does that mean to say that the Rabbanu would argue on Rabbi Eliezer and not say to say Havdalah in Moedim when Yomtiv falls out on Matzah Shabbos? So the Gemara responds, v'loi pligi, and do the Rabbanu not argue? V'pligi Rabbanu, but the Rabbanu do argue. They don't hold that you ever say Havdalah in the bracha of Moedim. So the Gemara responds to that and says, no. Who said that anyone argues that we have to say that Allah is like Wilaza? Everyone would agree to that. Because even the Pligi Rabbanon, Bishayim Yisashana, when would Rabbanon argue that where the proper place of Havdalah is? That's on the other days of the year, when it falls out on the weekday. That then they say, when we say Atachayin, that's where you say Havdalah. But Yomtiv Shechalis HaChashabbos, Mi Pligi, would they argue when Yomtiv is Matzah Shabbos, that there where you don't have Atachayin, that they wouldn't agree that you would say it in the Bracha of Moedim? So therefore, why do we have to say halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer? No one even argues on him. So the Gemara says no, because although you could say that Rabbanan agree, but v'hapolig Rabbi Kiva argues, because Rabbi Kiva always holds that you make its own fourth bracha. So therefore, even when it's yomtiv, where you don't have, let's say, all the brachas of the weekday, but you have yomtiv brachas, so then you would put after the kaddish, you would make the bracha of havdalah, and then you would say the yomtiv nusach. So that's why we have to say halacha like Rabbi Eliezer, to exclude from Rabbi Kiva, who would say you would make your own bracha and not say it during Moedim. So the Gemara responds to that. Why would we have to say halachas like Rabbi Eliezer to come to exclude from Rabbi Kiva? Atu kalashona kula miavdinik Rabbi Kiva. Do we do the whole year like Rabbi Kiva? The hashen neku v'navid kavasei. That now we would think when it's yomtiv on Matzah Shabbos that then we would do like him. That we would have to say the halachas like Rabbi Eliezer to come to exclude from him. We wouldn't even think that it's like him, as the Gemara explains. My time, I love Dini Rabbi Kiva. Why the whole year don't we pass on like Rabbi Kiva to make it its own bracha? To Tamni Sre Takin Tishri Loi Sakin, because originally it was instituted 18 brachas, as it's called Shemayin Esrei, and it was not instituted to be 19 brachas. And he's saying to make its own bracha, so therefore we don't agree to that. So Hachinami Shev Takin Tamni Loi Sakin. Here also on the brachas on Yom Tiv, we instituted 7 brachas and not 8. So again, why would I have to say the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer? Who argues on him that we would have to say that it's not like them? The Rabbanan would seem to agree to Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Kiva, we obviously don't hold like him, so I wouldn't have to say this halacha in the first place. So Amalei, he said to him, Lav halacha edma, correct. It wasn't said that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Ila matan edma, rather it's that it's we incline towards Rabbi Eliezer. The edma, as the Gemara says, as it was learned, the machleik is exactly how this was said. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi Amar Meshurim Rabbeinu, he said in the name of Rav that it was said halachas like Rabbi Eliezer. V'amri l'amson said that matan, that we incline to that. And then the Gemara brings two other versions of how it was said. Rabbi Yechon Amar Moedim, the Rabbi Yechon says that the way it was said is that the Rabbanan agree to Rabbi Eliezer that in the Yom Tiv that falls out after Shabbos, that the halach is that we say it in Moedim. Rabbi Chibar Abba Amar Nirin, Rabbi Chibar Abba says that it would appear to be like Rabbi Eliezer. And that is, Rashi explains that these different terminologies would connote different halachas. The one who says that halacha like Rabbi Eliezer means that they would darshan, they would lecture this in the public discourse for the public to hear. That's what it would mean, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. The one that says that matin, that we incline towards Rabbi Eliezer, would mean that we don't announce it, we don't publicize it in the lecture. However, if someone came to ask us an individual question, we would tell them to do like Rabbi Eliezer when it's Yom Tov that falls out on Sunday, which would start on Matzah Shabbos. And according to the one that says Nirin, that it appears to be, is that we wouldn't even paskin to someone. We wouldn't tell him, even if he comes to ask us, to do like Rabbi Eliezer. However, if he would do like that and he would say it in Moedim, then we wouldn't make him do it over, and it would be good enough because it appears to be Lailochas like Rabbi Eliezer. So these are the different versions of how it was said over. However, this was what he was answering to him, that we didn't say halacha. We wouldn't say that that's the halacha, because then it would seem to be that someone's arguing on them. Rather, it's that we incline to that, and that is if someone asks us a question, we will tell him that he should do like Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara continues on this, that Amr Abzeira, Nokit Reb Chia Bar Abba B'yotcha, that if you want to know who we should paskin like, which was the correct version of how he said it, was it halacha like Rabbi Eliezer, was it matin, was it nirin, was it moedim, What was the terminology? The terminology should be nirin, that it says that it appears to be like Rabbi Elazar, that we don't lecture it in the public discourse, and not only don't we tell someone to do it, rather it's only if someone does like Rabbi Elazar, and he had, after the matter of the fact, he tells you, he says, Havdalah in Maidim, that then we let him, if it was on Matzah Shabbos, to be Yaitza. And why is it? Why do we say that the correct version is like Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said it? The daik of a gomer shmaita mi pumed demar shabbat, because he was very meticulous and he learned the actual halacha from the mouth of the one that was saying it very well, and that he was very careful with the terminology that his rabbi would use, and he made different simonim and signs that he shouldn't mix up the different words of nirin and matin or maidim. And therefore, if you want to know who is probably right, it was him, as the gemara says, karachva de pumpedisa. He was like rachva and pumpedisa. That he was also very careful and meticulous in the terminology of his Rebbe, as the Gemara brings. The Amar Rachva, as Rachva had once said, Amar Rebbe Huda said, Har Habayis Tziyav Kofalhoya, that the Temple Mount was surrounded with an area of double benches. V'hoyis Tziyav Lefnimistav, and that it was a row of benches within another row of benches. And that is, as Rashi explains, that although the Lashon that's usually used in the Mishnah is they don't call the benches stuff, they call it itztaba, as it says in the Gemara Pesachim and in Sukkah, that says agav ha-itztaba, but he was meticulous to quote exactly as his Rebbe had said, and he didn't say itztaba kavula ha-isa, rather he said tztav kavula ha-isa. So we see that he was very medactic in this, and similarly, the same was with Reb Chiya bar Abba, that they were very meticulous, and therefore you should know that he probably has the correct version. So now the Gemara gives another opinion regarding this halacha that we're debating in Havdalah. The Amar of Yosef says, I don't recognize this statement, I don't recognize that statement. In other words, not nirin, not moidim, not matin. These are not the correct versions of that the halacha in any which way should be like Rabbi Elazar, that when Matzah Shabbos falls on Yom Tov, that then you should say it possibly in moidim. Rather, El Madrav Shmuel Yedana, the only thing I recognize, la halacha, is this, that Rav and Shmuel were mesak, and they instituted for us a pearl in Bavel. They made up a nusach that should be said not during Moedim, but rather we're in a similar place where it's said during the weekday. And that is the nusach that we say on Matzah Shabbos. But Tedienu Hashem Likenu es Mishpatei Tzidkecha, that you have made known to us, Hashem our God, your righteous ordinances, but Talamedenu Lasis Chukeri Tzinecha, and you taught us the decrees of your will, but Tanchilenu Zman Isasin B'chagin Adava, and that you gave us an inheritance of times of joy and of celebrations of willingness, of nedava, for terishenu kedusha Shabbos, and you bequeathed to us the holiness of Shabbos, uchvoid moed v'chakigis haregel, and the dignity of the Yom Tov and the celebration of the festival, being kedusha Shabbos l'kedushas Yom Tov v'dalta, between the holiness of Shabbos and the holiness of Yom Tov you have separated. That's what's going on over here. It's going from Shabbos to Yom Tov. And also, similarly, you have made a difference from the seventh day, which is Shabbos, from the 6 days of the week that you have made sanctified, you have hallowed. You have distinguished and you have hallowed your nation, Klal Yisrael, with your holiness. And then he continues, that you gave us, as the davening continues. So that is that the person says this nusach of a tedienu, he first says ata v'chartanu. When he reaches vatitan lanu, there he inserts this hivdalta v'kedashta es amch yisal b'kedusha secha. And then after he finishes that, then he says, he continues saying vatitan lanu shem l'kein b'hava, and he ends off with the bracha of mekadesh yisrael v'azmanim. So therefore it's said in that bracha, similarly placed as it is by atachayinu, which is the first bracha after atachadosh, and not by moedim, and that is our minik today, that's how we say it, but tedienu, and we don't say it in moedim like Rabbi Elazar says. Now the Gemara continues with the following Mishnah, which up until now we spoke about different things that are added to the Shemayna Esrei, Atachaynein, Mashav Ruach. Now the Mishnah speaks about different additions that are improper to say and to add into the Shemayna Esrei. So the Mishnah begins, Oimer al kan tzipo yagirach mech, whoever says in the middle of the Shemayna Esrei that on the bird's nest your mercy extends, which is what he's trying to say is that there are certain people that they want to show themselves like they're really focusing and really getting to the Shemayna Esrei, and they're saying and treating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they say, Rach Machanat, you're great, you're merciful. And not only that, we find that even on a bird's nest, your mercy extends, because you said that you should send away the mother first before you take the child. And therefore, just like you extend your mercy to the birds, you should extend it to us. That's improper, as the Gemara is going to explain. Or if someone says in the Shemoneh Esrei that on the good that you do for us, your name should be remembered. Or if he says, Moedim, Moedim, that if he says we give thanks and we give thanks, he says it two times. For all these three different types of terminologies, Meshaskin, we silence the person. It's not proper to say that during the davening. So the Gemara elaborates on this. And the Gemara says, Bishlam and Moedim, Moedim, Meshaskin, it's very well understood that when someone says, when he's saying Moedim and he's bowing down, he says it twice, that we silence him, because it appears as if there's two deities, like as if there's two gods. And he's saying, we thank you, who's it two times for? And similarly, regarding if someone says that on the goodness that you do for us, your name should be remembered, it's mashma ala taiva v'lo ala ra. It sounds like he's giving thanks that your name should be remembered only on the good and not on the bad. However, if it's now we learn in the Mishnah, chayiv on levarach ala ra, k'shem shem levarach ala taiva, a person is responsible and obligated to say blessing and to thank Hashem for the bad, just like he blessed Hashem for the good. So therefore, that's also improper. However, the Gemara asks, but regarding inserting that just like your mercy extends to the bird's nest, that not to anguish, so to speak, the mother bird when you take the child bird, my time, what's wrong with that? So the Gemara says, there was a machlekes between two different amirah and Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yisi bar Oven, Rabbi Yisi bar Zvida. One says, because you're instilling jealousy in the creatures of Maisa Bereshis. And that is because you, so to speak, saying that on these animals, the birds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy. But on the other creatures, Hashem didn't have mercy, and there you're allowed to take the child, even if the mother's on it, which is improper. And one says, because you're rendering the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as mercy, and that is that you're rendering the mitzvahs of Hashem, which were not given for mercy, rather it was placed on Klal Yisrael as decrees and chukim, that it should be known that they are the servants and they're the ones that keep the mitzvahs and the decrees and the chukum of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is even there by the things that there is place, so to speak, for the Satan and for the non-Jews to respond and say, what's the purpose of these things that they were given, as the Gemara says, ve'ena el gezeres, they're only decrees, that we should show that no, we're doing it not because we necessarily understand it, and not because of mercy, rather we're doing it because Hashem commanded it. And this person, by saying that it's because of Hashem's mercy, is so to speak, misconstruing and perverting the purpose of the mitzvah. It wasn't necessarily for mercy, rather it was that we should, so to speak, have different chukim, and that we should be subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara brings a story, an incident that illustrates this. There was this person that went down in front of Rabbah to lead the services, to lead the tefillah. Varman, he said, in the middle of his davening, Ata chasta kantzipur, that you had mercy on the bird's nest. Ata chusvar achamlein, you should have mercy and have, so to speak, compassion on us too. So Amar Rabbah, kama yoda haitzuvim rabbon leretzui lamori. Rabbah commented, he says, wow, how well this Talmud Chacham, this Talmudic scholar, knows how to win favor in front of his master, in front of Hashem. Wow, it's such a good plea. So Amalei Abayev, Amashaskin leisitan. Abayev said, but we learned in the Mishnah that we silence such a person. So the Gemara comments that Rabbah nami lechududi labayehu debayi. That's Rabbah knew the halacha. He just wanted to sharpen Abayev, and that is he wanted to see that he should respond to him and say that no, it was really improper. A similar incident, the Gemara quotes, Hahuda nachas kamed Reb Chanina. There was this individual that went down in front of Reb Chanina to daven for the Amid. Amar, so he said in the Shemayna essay, he says, Hakel HaGodel, the great God, Hakibur, the mighty, Vahanoira, and the awesome, Vahadra, and the glorious, Vahizuz, and the potent, Vahayara, and the one that's feared, Hachazik, the strong one, Vahamitz, and the powerful one, Vahavada, and the certain one, Vahanichbar, and the esteemed God. All these different appellations and terminologies he used to praise Hashem. So Himton let add this time. So Reb Chanina waited till he finished. Kisayim Amalei, after he finished, he told him, Simtinu lekuli shavchi demarch, did you complete all the praises of your master? In other words, what do you think you're saying? You think you're going to, you're saying so much? You're not doing a favor, you're doing a disfavor by saying all these things. Lomali kulahai, why do I need all these terminologies that you use? Anan hani tlast, I mean, us, even those three terminologies that we use, that we say, HaGodel, HaGibah, VaNoira, in our Shemoneh Esrei, Ilav Damrina Moshe Rabbeinu Bereis, had Moshe Rabbeinu not said in the Torah, where he says in the Pasuk in Devarim Yud, HaKel, HaGodel, HaGibah, VaNoira, Ashala Yisa, Fonam, Likach, Sheikh, that doesn't show favoritism, it doesn't take bribes, and Va'asu Ancha Knesset HaGdeilo, V'Siknin B'Tefillah, and had not also the men of the Great Assembly came, and then instituted that in Tefillah, as we find in the Pasuk in Nehemiah test, that Ezra was mispal on when they were coming up from the Golas, he used the same terminology of Hagodol Hagiba Menorah. Lo havinin yichayin lemeimlehu. We would not have been able to even say that. V'ad amakulei hayvaz, and you say that and even more, and you continue saying. As the Gemara brings an analogy to show why that's improper. Moshe lemelech basav adam can be compared to a king of flesh and blood. Shehoyu lo elef alofim dinizav. He had thousands upon thousands of golden coins. And they were praising him and said, wow, look how much silver you have. That's a disgrace for him. You're not doing a favor by saying all these different things, because it sounds like that it's, Hashem doesn't have even greater things. So therefore we're not supposed to, and we keep it to the bare minimum that we're even allowed to. The Gemara quotes another statement from the same Amor. V'amar Reb Chanina, Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz miyir shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven besides the fear of heaven. And that is everything that happens to a person is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether he's going to be tall or short, poor or rich, smart or dumb, if he's going to be light-skinned or dark-skinned, everything is b'dei shemayim. However, regarding if a person is going to be righteous or a rasha, an evil person, a sinner, that's not decreed in shemayim in heaven. Rather, this was given over to the hands of man, and it was placed in front of two different roads, and he could choose which one, and that is yirah shemayim, the fear of heaven. That is in the person's bechira, it's his choice to pick which one he wants. Shenemet says in the pasuk, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Va'at Yisrael, and now Klal Yisrael, Ma Hashem lekecha shemech. What is it that Hashem is already asking from you? Kiyim liyiru, only to fear him." And that's what we said. That's the only thing a person has. Everything else is, so to speak, done by Shemayim. He's going to make money. It's going to work out the business deal. It's not up to you. Hashem just wants one thing, that you should fear him. But then the Gemara asks on this pasuk, "Ati yir Shemayim milses utrisahi? Is the fear of heaven a small thing?" In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, "Kiyim liyiru, only to fear him," as if it's not such a big deal. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have anything in his treasure house, but rather one storage bin of Yir Shemayim, of fear of heaven, to show how precious it is, how great it is. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, Yiras Hashem hi yitzari, that the fear of heaven is his treasure. So how could he say only to fear him? This is the greatest and the most difficult challenge. So the Gemara answers, in yes. Because the Gabi Moshe Milsa's atrocity regarding Moshe, who he was the one making the statement, it was a small thing. And that's exactly, he's the one that was saying it. The Amr Reb Chanina says that Moshe La'odam Shemavak Shemimenu Kli Godlo B'yesha. This should be compared to a person that you request from him a large utensil, and he has it. He has it available. And Doim Alov Kli Katan, it appears to him like a small vessel that it's not a big deal. Yeah, I have it here, you could take it. Cotton vainly, but if you ask someone for a small utensil and he doesn't have that, it seems like even a big utensil, because he doesn't have a small utensil, and to him it seems like a big thing. And that's the muscle that's being given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that for him Yerushalayim was like a small thing for his level. And the first one says, so what does that have to do with the rest of Klal? So in that way, every person has a madriga, a bechina of Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's what the message that Moshe was given to them. The only thing Hashem is asking from you is Yerushalayim. Everything else is in the hands of heaven. So the Gemara returns to the Mishnah that said, Moedim, Moedim, Mishaskanes. If someone says the word Moedim twice, he says it, so then they silence him. So the Gemara says something similar, that Amr Abzeira, Kolo Imer, Shema, Shema, Ka'imer, Moedim, Moedim, Dami. The Rebbe says Shema, and then he says the word Shema again, as if he said the same thing when he says Moedim twice, which is incorrect, and we silence him, because it sounds like there's two gods, so to speak. The Gemara asks, Meisve, Hakar, Shema, Bekoif, Lahariz, and Maguna. We learned that whoever recites the Shema and he repeats it, that's disgraceful. So the Gemara is medayig and says megunahu dahava. So that person is disgraceful. But shtuki lo mishtakin le, we don't silence him. It's something disgraceful, but it's not, so to speak, going against God. So how can we say over here that saying Shema twice, like saying Moedim twice, where we silence him? But here we see it's not silencing, rather just disgraceful. So the Gemara says loy kasha, hoda amr milsa milsa v'tanila. This one was talking about that he said each word and then repeated the word right after. And that is, that's disgraceful, but we don't silence such a person, because that doesn't seem like that he's accepting two different kingdoms, so to speak. Rather, it's like a farce that he's saying the word twice, Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael. It sounds like he's just, so to speak, being redundant. However, v'hoda amar p'suka p'suka v'tonila. However, the other case that says that it's that we silence him is talking about that if he says the entire verse and then he repeats it again, so then it seems like that he's talking, so to speak, to two different Rishuyas, and that is, he says, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, and then he says it again, he says, Moed Menach Lach, Moed Menach, he says the whole phrase, sounds like he's talking to two different entities, and therefore there we silence him, but versus if you just say the word and repeat it, and then the next word and repeat it, that's not improper. That's the Pshat Rashi says. Tesis brings from the Bahag and the Pirish of the Rach that they say the opposite, that they say to say each Psukim, then we don't silence him. Rather, if he says each word, then we silence him. And it's, if you say the sentence, that's disgraceful, but that we don't silence. And these two opinions are brought in the Shulchan Aruch in the Halacha. So now the Gemara asks on the Braisa, Amalur Rav Papa L'Abaya. Rav Papa said to Abaya, V'dimumi kara l'kivin daite. How do we? Why is it so disgraceful? Maybe the person wasn't able to focus right away. And then ultimately, he was able to focus. So therefore, either like whichever one of the Rishayim, either it's the word or it's the whole sentence. But the point is, he didn't properly focus, and now he's focused. So that's why he's saying it again. So why is it disgraceful? So the Gemara says, Amalei says to him, and now we continue on to the top of Lama Dalam and Aleph, Chavrusa Klapishmayim Yikya. Is there some type of familiarity, as is some type of friendship regarding what's there in heaven? In other words, can a person be noy? Can he accustom himself, as he does with his friend, the same way to Hashem, and not be careful in the words that he's saying? If he doesn't concentrate properly his focus from the outset, we strike him with a smith's hammer until he's able to focus. And that is what, so to speak, what it's trying to say is that we teach him that he should focus. And we'll hit him if he continues to do that and not to focus. So therefore, how can you tell me that, why is it disgraceful if a person says over the word or the sentence again because he wasn't able to focus and he says, let me say it again? That's not proper. You can't speak to Hashem and be davening and not really thinking and then say, oh, let me say it over. You have to focus. And if not, we, so to speak, we show you that this is that's improper. And therefore, it's disgraceful if a person repeats over what he said already before.